Hello, and thank you for joining us for The Central Message, a ministry of Central Chapel Church in Hedgesville, West Virginia. We hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by today's message. Now, here is a word from God's Word with Pastor Keith Walsworth.
When was the last time you forgot something? We human beings have a tendency to forget, and my wife is always reminding me now, don't forget. Don't forget. We need to remember lest we forget those things. You know, if we're not careful, we forget the past, we forget what our schedule is today, and we certainly have trouble remembering what's going to happen tomorrow, next or next month. There was a time in my younger days when once I put it up here, the calendar was pretty well set. I really didn't need a whole lot of help to remind me. But as I've gotten older, so I don't know if it's the age thing or whether it's that thing I carry around called a cell phone that I put my calendar in now and it takes care of all of that for me. I really don't have to remember. It does it for me. But nevertheless, we have a tendency to forget those things, past, present, and certainly schedules of the future. And that is why we have set up what we call memorials, things that remind us of certain things. For instance, a little over a year ago, we were in Washington, D.C., and we were with some friends of ours, and there's a memorial there for our generation. It's called the Vietnam Memorial. And as you start walking up there, the thing is pretty huge. And then you get a little closer, and you begin to see row after row after row. And then you get a little closer, and you're able to see name after name after name. He was actually looking for a name of a soldier that was a very good friend of his that died in Vietnam. And once he worked his way down and found that name, he was overwhelmed with emotion. You see, that memorial was there for a purpose. Lest we forget that battle, that war, those lives. In fact, every year, don't we, in the month of May, we have a day set aside. It's called Memorial Day. It's a day to help us to not forget. It's a day that we are to pause and remember those who gave their lives that we might enjoy the freedoms that we have in this land. And I want you to hang on to that thought, if you will, that there have been those who have gone before us that have given their lives that we might have the freedoms that we have today and enjoy the life that we've been able to enjoy up to this particular point. But being human beings, we have a tendency to forget. And God knows that. He created us, and so he very well knows that. And so as he's writing the scriptures and having men inspired by him to write the scriptures, in the scriptures, he oftentimes says to us, now don't forget. The book of Deuteronomy is one of those books, one of the five books that Moses was inspired to write. And in the book of Deuteronomy, oftentimes he puts in there, and I don't want you to forget something. I want you to remember once you get in the promised land. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. So take your Bibles, whether it's a hard copy like I have or whether it's your electronic version, it doesn't really matter. But I want you to turn to Deuteronomy with me, chapter 8. And I'm going to start reading in verse 10. And so in Deuteronomy, verse 10 of chapter 8, we read this. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I commanded you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So God is saying to his children, now listen, once you get over to the promised land and you start drinking from wells that you did not dig and you start eating from vineyards that you did not plant and you get your homes established over there, don't forget I was the one that brought you there. And so God wants us to remember. In fact, that is one of the reasons why he established even memorials. You know, we got them leaving Egypt and headed to the promised land. And if you know the story, then you know that Moses wasn't able to take them into the promised land. But Joshua is going to be the one that God uses to take them over into the promised land. But before they cross the Jordan and enter into the promised land, Joshua says, I need one man from every tribe. There were 12 tribes. And so he's got 12 men now, and he says, I'm going to have you men take a stone, and I want you to carry it across, and when we get to the other side, we're going to build a little memorial with these stones. And so they cross the Jordan, they get to the other side, they build this little memorial. And the reason that they're doing this is God is saying, now listen, the reason this is here is so you don't forget. And then later, your next generation, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, or down the road, when they happen to come by here and they say, what is this pile of rocks doing here? And then you can tell them how we, the people of Israel, were slaves in Egypt. We were without hope. There was no way that we could do anything about our bondage. But God, our great creator God, rose up Moses, and he came back to Egypt, and he delivered us here. So this was a memorial. In fact, in the Old Testament, we find several memorials. If you're familiar, there was the Ark of the Covenant that they were to carry with them everywhere they went. And inside that ark, the ark itself was a memorial, but inside that ark, there were some items. And each of those items were memorials, lest they forget. There was a little bowl or a pot, a golden bowl that contained manna, the food which God gave them as they were coming through the wilderness. God didn't let them starve. He miraculously supplied their food day after day after day. And inside that ark was a reminder, a memorial of God's provision. There was Aaron's staff that had budded, reminded them of the greatness of God and the miracles that he performed to watch over them. And then there was also the stone tablets, the Ten Commandments contained in there. And so God gave them memorials lest they forget. Then we move into the New Testament. And Jesus comes to this earth and he serves his life ministry. And what we are celebrating today of a memorial. It's called Easter. I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. And it's a day that we have set aside to remember. Remember something that took place over 2,000 years ago. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He died in our place for our sins. He was buried, but he rose again the third day. And so the cross is a memorial to us. It reminds us of the sacrifice that God was willing to make when he became man and died in our place. The empty tomb is a memorial. It reminds us of the resurrection of Christ and that he's coming again. So the Bible is filled with memorials, lest we forget. And can I just pause for a moment here? And for those of you listening to me, I want you to understand something, that not only do we have the scriptures in which remind us of the greatness of God, but we live in the United States of America. And you may say, well, what difference does that make? Well, this country was founded on the Bible. It was founded by men who had a fear and a reverence for God. And I fear that not only are we forgetting the scriptures, not only are we taking advantage of God's greatness and his goodness, but we're forgetting that our country was founded on some of these things. If you allow me, I want to take you back almost 300 years, about 280 years. This was the beginning of what was called the Great Awakening, and a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon. In fact, I would encourage you to Google this and read the sermon if you have a chance. But sinners in the hands of an angry God. In that message, Jonathan Edwards, he described graphically the holiness of God and God's justice and his hatred for sin. And Jonathan Edwards kind of paints the picture that the very fact that we are still alive, that God hasn't given us what we deserve. He says it's even a wonder that last night in our sleep, God didn't just put an end to our lives and let us spend eternity in hell. And even the church that he's preaching at, he says, you know, it's even amazing that here we are worshiping together. And it's a wonder that God just doesn't stop it right here, right now, and toss us all into eternity of torment. That was quite the message. And it was a message that God used as people began to think about hell and the reality of eternity separated from God. And they began to realize their need for God's grace and God's goodness. And they remembered the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And they knew that he was their only hope. And so this great country was founded on this revival that we call the Great Awakening. About 35 years later, the Declaration of Independence is signed. And then another 13 years after that, we have the U.S. Constitution. And the founding of this nation and the motto that became out of that was, "In God we trust." But I'm afraid we've forgotten. I'm afraid that we have just plain forgotten not only the goodness of God, but even the principles in which we were founded on. Going back to Jonathan Edwards, if I may, he preached sinners in the hands of an angry God, but later he wrote about the grace of God and how badly we need that grace. And I want to read that to you. He says, "The mercy of God is that attribute which we, the fallen, sinful race of Adam, stand in greatest need of. And God has been pleased, according to our needs, more gloriously to manifest this attribute than any other. The wonders of divine grace are the greatest of all wonders. The wonders of divine power and wisdom in the making of the great world are marvelous. Other wonders of his justice in punishing sin are wonderful. Many wonderful things have happened since the creation of the world, but none like the wonders of grace. Grace, grace is the great sound as the gospel rings. With grace, grace will be that shout which will ring in heaven forever." It was that grace that was used to found the great United States of America. And so God used Jonathan Edwards. He brought revival to the eastern colonies, which came to be known as the United States of America. And we the people. And again, as I said earlier, even on our money, we've got "In God we trust." But I think we've forgotten that. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten what our country was founded on. And I believe that we have begun to think that we deserve God's goodness. Do we even remember what grace means? You see, the Bible makes it very clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God would be right and just if he just sent us all to hell. But God's not willing that any should perish. And God went to great extent to save a people for his own glory. But the only way that we could ever have this grace and this mercy is simply because of God's goodness, his grace, and his forbearance. But have we forgotten what grace even means? I know some have said it means that it's God's riches at Christ's expense, and it is. The best definition for it is unmerited favor. You see, God doesn't owe us anything. And we were unable to do anything about our lost condition. But in our lostness, in our inability to do anything, we would never be able to earn God's favor. God himself bestowed grace to us. Unmerited favor. And we can't forget that. And I think we've lost all of that. We've lost sight of his holiness. We've lost sight of his justness. And we've lost sight of his grace. And so if you'll allow me, I want to take you back into the Old Testament and share a couple of passages that might, I hope and pray, will challenge us, convict us, and comfort us as well as we think about the goodness and the grace of God. The first one is in Leviticus 10. So if you want to take your Bibles and turn there with me, you may. But at Leviticus 10, we have a situation where Aaron's sons are misbehaving. Nadab and Abihu. And in chapter 10 of Leviticus, it says, "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took a censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." I don't know what's going on here, but these guys are responsible for worship. And Nadab and Abihu decide to tinker a little bit with worship. And I don't know what that means, but, you know, in our day when we're trying to shape worship to meet our needs, we best be careful. But Nadab and Abihu, I don't know what they're doing. They're messing around, and God just zaps them. Now, Aaron, can you imagine? I mean, God just zapped two of his sons right there. Well, verse 3 goes on. Verse 3 says, "And Moses said to Aaron, 'This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified.'" Notice the next words. "So Aaron held his peace." God had just illustrated his holiness. He just illustrated how unworthy all of us are. And now Aaron's two sons were playing around with worship, and God zapped them, and Moses said, "Now, Aaron, just a second. Before you get too upset here, remember what God said. We need to take him serious, and we must approach him as holy, and he must be glorified." And Aaron just held his peace. He knew that God was right and just in what he did, and that his sons were wrong. There's another account in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. And I'm not going to turn there, but if you want to later go back and look at it. And it's the account of David bringing the ark back. And they're excited and they're rejoicing and they're dancing. But they're bringing the ark back and they've put it on this little trailer, and the oxen are pulling it. And God had laid down instructions in the book of Numbers saying, "Now listen, you know, nobody messes with this." But they're bringing it back, and in 1 Chronicles 13, the oxen stumble. And when they stumble, the trailer begins to rock, and the ark begins to tip. And there's a man there by the name of Uzzah. And Uzzah steps up and he puts his hand on the ark to try to stabilize it. And the moment he does that, God zaps him right there. God had warned them in Numbers, nobody touches this stuff, lest they die. And so Uzzah reaches up to try to stable it. And we would say, now that was a very kind thing for him to do. In fact, David, if you read the account in verses 5 through 11, David was angry for a moment. But David, too, had to be reminded, God is holy and what he says. Jonathan Edwards made a statement about Uzzah, and he said the sin of Uzzah was the sin of arrogance. Uzzah made the assumption that the dirt would have been more contaminating than his touch. There is nothing sinful about dirt. See, Jonathan Edwards, that started the Great Awakening in our country, he understood the holiness of God. And what he was saying is Uzzah, when he reached up there, he began to assume, to think that he was holier, cleaner, less contaminating than dirt. And dirt has never sinned. And so it was his own pride, his own arrogance, and God zapped him. And that brings me back to grace, because you realize how badly we need that grace. And we'll see, some people would say, well, God has changed. And God has not changed. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. You see, what was sin 100 years ago will be sin 1,000 years from now. God never changes. We are the ones that have forgotten. We are the ones who need to remember the God of the Bible, what he is like. He is holy, he is just, and he has every right to do as he says he will do. When was the last time you were at a funeral? Maybe I should ask that question differently. When was the last time you were at a funeral and the individual performing the ceremony, giving the sermon, giving the talk, when was the last time you were at a funeral where it was even slightly hinted that possibly this individual will spend eternity in hell? You've never been to one, have you? We have a differing view of God. We have come to a point where we seem to just assume that God is loving and gracious and kind, and he could never allow anybody to spend eternity in hell. See how far we have slipped from the Great Awakening, from what this country was founded on? And more importantly, the scriptures themselves. We have come to this point where God is this cosmic teddy bear up in heaven, and somehow we have lived a life good enough to where he needs to just allow us entrance into heaven. We have forgotten. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten his word. You see, to presume that we deserve God's grace is an eternal mistake. I think we've become a little bit like Aaron. And when Aaron struck down, when God struck down Aaron's two sons, and Aaron said, "No, wait a second, God." Aaron had forgotten the holiness of God. And you don't mess around with God. We need to take him seriously and take his word seriously. I think we've become a little bit like David. When God strikes Uzzah down for touching the ark, and David becomes angry at God, because David had forgotten. And I think we feel kind of the same way, that God, he owes me. I mean, after all, look what kind of life I've lived. I go to church. I'm a church member. I sing in the choir. I give money in the offering. And we forget that we are sinners. And because of our sin, we are separated from God. That's what the Bible makes so clear, that we have all sinned. And we've all come short of his expectations, his commands. I mean, just go down through the commandments. You know, have I ever placed anything before God? Yeah. Sometimes it's our job. Sometimes it's our wife or our children, our hobby. Well, that's called idolatry. Have we ever told a lie? We've all told lies. So that means we're liars. Have we ever taken anything that belonged to somebody else? That's called a thief. Have we ever had thoughts in our minds about the opposite sex in ways that were not glorifying to God? Yeah. That's adultery. Have we ever coveted? What I'm driving at is that in reality, we need to come to this point of understanding that we don't deserve God's grace. We deserve his wrath. But God, in his great grace, made a way possible for people like you and me to be forgiven of our sins. That's what Easter is all about. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ came and went to the cross of Calvary to satisfy the just demands of the Holy Father, that our sins could be forgiven. They could be washed away. And we could be given eternal life. So let me try to sum this up with just some simple instructions. Easter, again, is about Christ taking my place. And then rising again, giving me the hope of eternal life. But he must become my Savior. He must become my Lord. And so I want to end by sharing with you what I'll call, others have called, the ABC of Christianity. The first thing is that we need to come to that point where we admit that we are sinners before God. We are deserving of his wrath. And we understand that. And we're in need of a Savior. We're in need of God's grace. Without a Savior, without his grace, we're like the Israelites in Egypt. They were unable to deliver themselves from the bondage of Egypt, and we are enslaved to our sin, and there's nothing we can do to deliver ourselves from that bondage. So I need to admit that to God, that I need a Savior. I need his grace. B, I need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. And he went and died in my place, so I need to believe that he satisfied the just demands of the Father, that his death on the cross was sufficient. His perfect sacrifice satisfied and washed away my sins. So I need to admit my need of a Savior. I need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as my Lord and Savior. And all of this includes repentance, a leaving of sin, turning from sin, because we recognize that we want to use our lives for his honor and for his glory from this point on. So A, I need to admit I'm a sinner. B, I need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then C, I need to confess him. I need to confess the Lord Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I confess it with my mouth towards others and before others, but I also confess it with my life. The man that I used to be died, and I am a new man now in Christ. So I admit I'm a sinner. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my only hope, and I confess him as my Lord and Savior. And if you have never done that, I want to encourage you to do that even after I pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for allowing us an opportunity to look into the scriptures. I pray that you've used this to help us to remember who we were, who we are apart from Christ, and our need for him today. I submit these individuals into your hands, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to The Central Message, a ministry of Central Chapel Church in Hedgesville, West Virginia. We invite you to tune in each week at this same time to hear more teaching from the Bible with Pastor Keith Walsworth. If you would like more information on becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, would like to further your walk of faith with him, or would like to visit Central Chapel, please stop by our website at 2016.centralchapel.com. Thank you for joining us today. We hope to see you again next week.